We're starting on Daf Kuf Vav at the very, very Kuf Amud Bet at the very, very bottom. Before we do that, I want to go back to the Mishnah because now we're going to relate. If you remember, we started with the Shnei Dayanei Gzeirot HaYubi Yerushalayim. So start at Kuf Dalet Amud Bet for a minute at the very, very bottom, the beginning of the parak. There were two Dayanei Gzeirot. Remember this?
Yeah.
Admon v'Chanan ben Avi Shalom. Chanan omer Shnei Dvarim, Admon omer Shiva. So today we're going to get to the first. Mi shehalach l'medina hayam. Okay, first of all, I just want to remind you, until now, all we've done in the Gemara was discuss the Dayanei Gzeirot. And from there, we got into, they got paid by Truma Halishka, and from that, we got into the whole discussion about who gets paid by Truma Halishka, what types of things get paid from that, what types of things from other things, etc. Now we're going to get into what he said. So he said, Misha halach l'medina hayam v'ishto tovat mizonot. So the husband goes abroad. Actually, there's a bit of a discrepancy. I think I explained it not 100% right, so I'm going to try to do it right now. He goes to Medina Hayam, and his wife wants to get Mizono. So now it's not clear, he's not necessarily dead yet. He's still alive. So now, Hanan Omer Tishava Basof Belo Tishava B'tchila. Now what's the issue? She, at some point we want her to swear, to promise that she hasn't gotten anything. But what he says is, first she can start getting her Mizono, and only later, eventually, right, she'll swear when she goes to collect her tuba. When is that? When is she going to collect her tuba? When he eventually dies. What's the problem? He might not necessarily die before she does, in which case she'll never end up taking a shvua. And that's where the issue comes in. So, nechleku ala b'nei kohanim gdolim v'amru tishava b'tchila ubasof. So we want her to also swear when she gets the mizono because she might not ever come to take a shvua down the road. And therefore, because she might die before the husband.
Is that necessarily a problem?
Right. So therefore, so
lots of people never do.
Right. So why would she have to swear? So here the problem is that the husband's not around. And therefore we're concerned that maybe she's taking money. That's part of the problem. There's two issues here. One is, right, one second. Part of the problem is that she, one second. Okay. So, one second. Right. So the issue is that we're concerned that she's going to think, as in theory, we really should make her swear. Why? Because he's gone abroad. And we don't really know what he did when he was, you know, before he left. Did he leave her stuff? Did he not? So if we make her swear now, then we're set. If we don't make her swear now, we know eventually she's going to have to swear down the road when it comes to the ketubah money, and we're hoping that she'll tell the truth now. Why are we assuming that she's going to tell the truth? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Why don't we want her to swear? Because we're worried that if she knows she has to swear to get mizonot, right, if she knows, like earlier on, that if her husband goes away, in order to get mizonot, she's going to have to swear, that's going to cause some issues between her and her husband. Like, we don't want to make her swear for the mizono, basically. That's the opinion of Hanan, that it's too much to make her swear. But the Kohanim Gedolim say no, because in the end, she might not, you know, ever have to swear. And therefore, maybe she's lying all along, and she's taking all this money from the husband's estate while he's not around. And the issue is he's not there. It's just like the Yatomim. With the Yatomim, the husband's not there, and therefore she needs to swear. Here, also, the husband's not there. So we don't exactly know what transpired. So therefore, she has to do it. Now, the machloka between the Rishonim is that Hanan is talking about if she's tovat mizonot when he's still alive. The question is, would he say the same thing if the husband died? Because if the husband died, there's going to be a machloka. Because some people say, oh, it's just mizonot and she's allowed to get it. But other people say no. Like, obviously, she has to swear because she's getting the mizonot from the Yatomim. And anyone who swears has to swear to get their money. So anyway, that's the machloket in the Mishnah. So now we're going to kind of veer off the machloket, talk about something that's very similar, and then we're going to use our Mishnah to kind of possibly disprove one of the cases, and then we'll explain the Mishnah in a particular case in order to avoid the contradiction, if that sounds familiar to you. So now we're starting at Kuf Vav Amud Bet. Misha halach l'medina hayam. Okay, that's just the quote from the Mishnah. Itmar. It was said. Itmar is usually an introduction to a machloket and moraim. Okay, Rav Amar poskim mizonot le'eshedish, Ushmuel Amar ein poskim mizonot le'eshedish. What does it mean poskim mizonot? It means that the beitin can come into the husband's property. If the husband goes away and he's not there anymore, the beitin can come, take his property, seize his property, and use it to pay the woman, mizonah. So Rav says, we allow that to happen. Shmuel says, we don't allow it to happen. Now, why would we allow it to happen? Because, obviously, she needs, right? The husband's committed in his ketubah that he's going to support her. Okay? What might be the issue, though? He went abroad, right? We don't know what.
What he left her.
What he left her. What the arrangements were. Maybe he left her money, right? Maybe he left her money. Now, then the question becomes, well, how long would he have left her money for? Okay? So now we're going to talk about this machloket. So first, yeah.
Do we have a basic assumption that there's a problem?
What do you mean that there's a problem?
That she doesn't have enough money for food either because it ran out or because there wasn't an arrangement.
The assumption here is that she's coming to court. Yeah. The assumption is she's coming to court saying, I want my mizonah. That's the assumption.
So the assumption is she doesn't have money for mizonah.
Well, she claims she doesn't have money. We don't know. That's the whole thing. Maybe he gave her money and she hid it away and she claims there's no money and she wants money.
Okay?
Now we're going to get into what about her salary? Shouldn't that be covering her mizonah? Okay? Because remember, that's the whole thing, right? Her salary is in place of the mizonah. Her salary goes to him. Well, he's not there. So she should probably be using her salary. Anyway, we'll see in a minute. So Shmuel says, we don't give her mizonah. We're going to get into soon what his reasoning is. Now Shmuel says, Amar Shmuel, modeli Abba. Okay, Abba is a term for Rav. Why they called him Abba, there were different reasons given. Maybe really that was his name. That's what people called him. Maybe it was a term of kavod. Different reasons given. But it's definitely referring to Rav. Rav would agree with me in what situation? Bishlosha chodeshim arishonim. Lepi she'en adam miniach beito reikan. Okay? He claims, obviously, the first 3 months she can't claim his owner. Okay? After that, right, we can assume, this is an interesting assumption, an average trip was 3 months long. Okay? An average trip, he would obviously, in other words, what's the point? Nobody knows how long he intended to go away for. So we can assume he went away for 3 months and therefore left her money for 3 months. But when the 3 months pass and he doesn't show up, so can she start, you know, then it becomes the machloket. Can she start saying, I need mizonah or not? So now they continue to say like this. Bishishamu bo shemet, kule alma lo pligi. If we heard he died, well then obviously she gets mizonah because any woman whose husband dies starts to get mizonah. We don't have an issue at that point. Okay, so even Shmuel would agree that she gets mizonot in that case. And that's why when I wrote the chart, I specifically wrote it based on now the Gemara's explanation. Okay, even though they each kind of said a blanket statement, the way the Gemara understood it is not that way anymore. So in a case where they heard that he died, everyone agrees that she gets the mizonot. Ki pligi b'shaloshem ubo shemet. Okay, we haven't yet heard that he died, and we don't know, therefore, was he intending to stay out that long, was he not? So again, we've limited it to a case where it's past the 3 months, and we haven't heard any word whether he's alive or dead. And then there's a machloket. So now we're going to see, Rav Amar Poskim, why? Deha Meshuabad la. In his ketubah, he was Meshuabad, he committed to giving her mizonot. So therefore, she can obviously seize mizonot from the estate of the husband. But Shmuel Amar Ein Poskim. So now we need to know, my time, what's his reason? Rav Zvid Amar Ein Matsrare Atpesa. It could be he set aside money. Okay, we saw this before with the ketubah. He sets aside money, it's almost like it's an escrow account. Before he left, he was smart. He knew that some people go away and don't come back for a very long period of time. He knew it was somewhat open-ended, even if he had intent. He said, if you need money, it's sitting here in this account, you know. Or not. I don't think they had bank accounts in those days, but he left her in a certain way, he left her funds, and therefore we don't know. So therefore she can't take mizonah. Rav Papa Amar, Chayshinan Shema Amar La, Tzi'ima Asei Adayach B'mizonotayach. It could be he said to her, take your salary in place of mizonah. Remember we learned that she could say, I want to keep my salary instead of mizonot, and that's her right. And it could be that they made that arrangement, and therefore, she should just be taking mizonot from her salary, and therefore not being able to get mizonot from the husband. So now they say, my benayu, what's the difference? Where would there be a halachic difference between Rav Zvid's answer and Rav Papa's answer? Ika benayu gdola velo sapka. If she's an adult woman, okay, and... Okay, what does that mean? if you're a ktana, you're married to a ktana, generally he wouldn't be matpis bat srari. Why? Because she could do miun. Okay? Oh, but is it always miun? Right, a ktana doesn't necessarily mean miun. So what would be the other reason here? There was this assumption for some reason. Right. They say that generally people didn't put aside money for a ktana. I'm not sure why. If she's a ktana for miun, I would understand. If she's not...
This guesses that she... is not entrusted to handle large sums of money.
She's
not earning enough, I suppose.
Right. So I guess the assumption would be it's not like a trust account where someone else is in charge of it, right? He put aside money and gave her schuyot to it. So therefore, he wouldn't do that if she was a ktana. And therefore, in the case of a gdola, you would be worried that shema tzari atpisa. But if lo sapka, what does that mean? She doesn't make enough money to cover her mizono. Okay, she doesn't have a good parnasa. So therefore, it can't be that she would have said, I'll keep my salary and you take, you won't give me mizono. So in that case, it would depend whether you held by Rav Papa or Rav Zvid. Inami, or the flip case. Ktana, where he wasn't makpis srare, but sapka, but she made enough money that she'd be able to support herself, right? Which would be interesting, because in general, you would think that a ktana would have less way to make more money, but they're just kind of finding a case where there would be a halachic difference between them. Okay, now we're going to start on, you can see from the chart, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven Tanaitic sources, the first one being our Mishnah, that are going to basically show us, are going to basically bring a question on Shmuel Shita, okay? Shmuel Shita is obviously problematic. Right? Because what do you mean? This poor woman is going to end up not getting mizono and her husband goes abroad. He doesn't show up. Right? How is it going to be that she's not going to get mizono? So, question number one. Okay? We're just going to go through question by question. A lot of them are going to be answered in a similar way. Not all of them. Tnan, our Mishnah. Mi shehalach lemedina hayam v'ishto tovat mizonot. Right? He goes to Medina Hayam and the woman asks for mizonot. Exactly our case. Right? Hanan amar tishava b'sof v'lo tishava b'tchila. Right? She only has to swear when she takes her ketubah money and not when she takes mizonot money. Nechleku ala b'nei kohanim gdolim v'amru tishava b'tchila u'basof. So now, why does this ask a question on Shmuel? Ad kan lo pligi, what's the machloket between them? Ela linyan shvua. Their whole machloket is whether you have to swear to get the mizonot or you don't have to swear to get the mizonot. Ava mizonot, yahavina la, but everybody agrees that she gets mizonot. Nobody thinks she doesn't get mizonot. So, tirgama Shmuel, bisha shamu bo shamet. Shmuel says, our Mishnah is referring to a case if she heard that he died. What's the difference if she heard that he died? Because as soon as she hears that he dies, she's now entitled to get mizonot from the husband dying. Any almana gets mizonot, a monthly stipend, right? The difference between her and the woman who thinks her husband's still alive is that maybe the husband left her money for mizonot. But once he dies, it doesn't matter what he left her or didn't leave her. At this point, she gets a monthly stipend of mizonot. Tashma, next source. Misha halach lemedina hayam. This is going to be very similar to our Mishnah. It's just a braita that has a bit of a different version. V'ishto tovat mizonot. Okay, same thing. B'nei koinim gedolim omrim tishava. Hanan omer lo tishava. Okay, here they're just referring to, right, they don't talk about the tchila itself. They're just saying, right, she wants mizonot. So, does she need to swear or does she not need to swear? V'imbava amar pasakti la mizonot. Here's the difference. If he comes and says, I already gave her mizonot, ne'eman. Okay, he's believed. Now, some people say this is even if the court gave her mizonot already, she has to give back the money. When he shows up and says, but wait, I gave her mizonot, he's believed. Now, some Rashi says it has to be that he has to swear. It's not enough. Okay, Rashi says, u'b'shvua u'mechazeret mashenatna labetin. Okay? If he comes to court and swears, if he just comes and says, I already gave her, then we don't take the money out of her hands. But if he swears in court that I already left her mizonot, she has to return all the money that she took from his funds. So now, what do you see here? Hard to say that this is when they heard he was dead because the guy shows up, right?
They could still have heard that he was
dead. So that's what the Gemara is going to say. So the Gemara says, don't ask a question, because again, what do you see here? Everyone agrees that she gets mizonot, right? Until he comes back and claims I already gave her, but otherwise she gets mizonot. So, hachanami b'sheshamu bo shemet. Okay? It's also when she heard he was dead. So then they say, V'ha'im bava amar ka'amar. But what do you mean he's dead, right? He showed up. So as Ruth answers, you've been learning Gemara long enough, im bala achar shmua. Okay, in other words, he shows up after, what's a shamubo? It doesn't say Adim came, right? It says she heard a rumor that he was dead. So when she heard the rumor that he was dead, she went based on that rumor, okay, and acted upon it and demanded her mizonot. But it turned out he really was alive. Okay, tov. So again, that doesn't contradict Shmuel, the ein la mizonot, because this wouldn't be a case where he just goes abroad and is still alive. It would only be a case when he already died. And if you remember, in that case, he agreed that if he dies, then she gets mizonot, or even if they think he's dead, she gets mizonot. Tashma. Misha halach l'medina hayam. This is like what we learned at the end of Yevamah. In other words, once you have one aid that says he's dead, okay, we're going to get to Sugi, we'll learn to Yevamah soon, but once we have one aid that says he's dead, or, right, she can remarry based on that.
They required her to do all of the research.
Right, right. So the assumption here is that, right, and then if she's wrong, she gets penalized. We're going to talk about that soon. Because we're going to talk about the difference between if she says, my husband died, or if she said, my husband divorced me. Right? Where there's a difference, the halacha. We're going to get to that soon. And I'm a bet. Okay. Good that you guys remember. Tashma. Misha halach, right, remember what tashma means? Tashma always means, I'll get into some methodology, especially because we have it seven times on this page. Tashma ties from ata. Ata, if you remember from Chagadya, viata shunra, viata kalba, okay, it means ba. So ta means bo. Bo ushma. Shma always means to learn. Listen, right? When you listen to something, you learn it. So come and learn. It always means that we're going to quote a source from somewhere else. Now, it doesn't necessarily indicate. Sometimes we have a word that shows it's going to be a Tanaitic source, like metive always means we're bringing a contradiction from a Tanaitic source onto an MRA. But this word just means we're bringing some other source. It could be Mekoro Tanai. In our case, it's going to be always Mekoro Tanai in this sugya particularly. Sometimes it could be, it's one of these words that doesn't exactly tell you a lot, because it could be they're bringing it as a contradiction. It could be they're bringing it as a proof. And it could be a Tanaitic source. It could be an Amoraitic source. It could be anything. What it really means is we're bringing something from far to do something for it in our purposes. Okay? And in this case in particular, it's coming each time to bring a question on a difficulty on Shmuel. Tashma, mi shehalach lemedina hayam, v'ishto tovat mizonot. V'imba va'amar, tzi'i ma'aseh adayach b'mizonotayich. If he comes and says, I'm not going to give you mizonot, you know, use your salary for that, rashai, he's allowed to do that. Kadmu beitinu pasku, but if the beitin already paskined on it, masha pasku pasku. Okay? In other words, it's already a done deal. He can't change it. He can't later come and say, oh, switch it for, you know, take your, like, in other words, what's the situation?
This is assuming he's not dead.
He went away. She went to take her the mizonot, okay? What it seems to me happens here is that if he comes, if she already took the stuff, 1 second, Baba Allah, we're talking about, right, okay, so they explain here that if she borrowed money from mizonot, because he didn't give her, okay, he doesn't have to repay the loan, because he can say, I never intended, and this wasn't my chov, she was supposed to take her salary to cover this. And basically, she's responsible to return the money and not me. However, if the Beit Din paskins already, okay, that he's supposed to pay her, then there's nothing to do about it. So you know, there's two ways she could get money, really. She can borrow, in this, right, hoping that the husband's going to pay back the money, and then the husband's not responsible to. Or she can go to Beit Din. If the Beit Din says she gets the money, then she gets the money, and he can't later come and say, oh, well, I meant to give her, you know, have her salary pay for her mizonot. Okay?
Whether or not she did it privately or legalized it.
Right, exactly. It's a difference between private or legally. So now, again, what do you see? Either which way, she gets mizonot, right? So now, what are the answer? Hachanami b'shesham'u bo shemet. Also, right, the Beit Din is only allowed to give the mizonot because this was a case where shamu bo shemet, and they thought he was dead, and they basically gave her mizonot based on the fact that he was dead. Again, you have to remember, it doesn't necessarily mean all these sources are explained this way, but Shmuel has to explain them this way. Rav can explain them, no, it was regular mizonot before he died, right, or before they thought he was dead. But Shmuel has to explain all these sources, but shamu bo shemet. Next source, Tashma. Mi shahalach lemedina hayam v'ishto tova mizonot. Beitin yordim lenechasav v'zanim u'mefarnesim l'ishto. By the way, it's just interesting to note that there's so many sources that are basically saying the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Or similar things, and so many cases about this, which on the one hand could mean that this was a typical situation, right? The husbands went abroad. Remember, they didn't have communication in those days, and that's really what causes the problem here. We don't know. Did he give her, did he leave her money? Did he not? And she's claiming, I need the money. And, you know, it could seem like it was a very common situation in those days where someone went abroad. They didn't necessarily know how long it was going to take them to get there, how long it would take them to get back, how long the whole trip in general was going to take. Right? It's not like they had to book a one-way, you know, a two-way round-trip flight. So you can imagine this. In general, all sorts of travel situations were very common in those days, like sugyot that come about because of travel. And complications that arise as a result, just like, you know, the whole end of Yevamot with the husband going away and then not showing up, and then is he dead or not? Okay, so now what happens? The Beitin, if he goes and she claims, I want mizonot, so Beitin yordim lenechasav zanim u'mefarnesim l'ishto. The Beitin can take his money, take his property, and feed the wife from the property. Aval lo banav ubnotav. Below davar acher. By the way, we saw the source before. Okay, this came up on Memchet. So, not the sons and daughters. The Beit Din, if he goes away and doesn't come back, we can't use the money from his estate to feed the sons and daughters. We're going to get to this why. We're going to get to this later, soon. And not for davar acher. You can't use his money for davar acher, which we're going to see there's a machloket about. If you remember, we learned it then also. So again, what do you see here? Okay, forgetting about the last two sections of the Braita, about the children and the Davar Acher, but you see that for Mizono, the Beit Din can come and take his money. Amar Rav Sheshet, again a question on Shmuel. B'mashre et ishto al yidei shalish. Okay, what does that mean? It's a case where he set up an apitropos to feed her, okay, and now the apitropos, like, disappears, okay? And therefore, we're not worried about strare at pese, right? We're not worried that he put aside money because he set up an apotropos to feed her. He set up a guy in his place to be in charge of her money and to feed her in the meantime. And we can't worry that he said, si masei adach lemizonotai, because again, he set up someone to feed her. So basically, if the apotropos bails and there's no one there, then we take from his property. So now, they say, well, if that's the case, okay, banav ubnotav nami. So then also, if he set up an apotropos to feed his wife, he must have set up an apotropos to feed his kids. So why wouldn't we basically take from his estate to feed his kids? So what do they say? Kisha hishre lezo velo hishre lezo. It must be a case where he set up someone to feed his wife, but not to feed his kids. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute. My paska, in other words, what would motivate a husband to do such a thing? Like, this is not a typical situation, okay? You should be pleased with this, right? That a guy's going to take care of his wife and not his kids. Very strange situation. So therefore, they say to be ma'ami, okay, we have this where sometimes they're ma'ami, the Mishnah, in a very strange situation. It's one thing to say that the Mishnah, or the Braita in this case, that the source is talking about a weird case, but it's another to say that it's talking about a case where he promised this to one, not to the other. It seems very odd. So the Gemara basically rejects that interpretation, and therefore Rav Sheshet, and therefore Rav Papa comes up with a different interpretation. Ela amar Rav Papa, kishe shamabo shemeit be'ed echad hi. Di'ibayt intzibe be'ed echad, matzi mintziba, mezone nami yahavinan lei. Okay, I'll stop here for a minute. It's when she heard that he died with an aid. Now what happens? If she hears, based on one aid, right, that he's dead, what do we say? This is actually going to be a very interesting halacha. We say that she can go get remarried, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if we say that, now, generally, when it comes to monetary things, you need two witnesses. When it comes to this, I believe we learned this already in Yevamo. Mm-hmm. When it comes to this, there's two issues. There's number one, the marriage issue. Number two, the monetary issue. Now, while the monetary issue needs two aidim, and the marriage issue needs one aid, once we have one aid and it establishes that he's dead for her purposes, That already is enough to say that also, once we treat him as dead and we allow her to get remarried, well, obviously we're going to treat him as dead, that we're going to allow her to get mizono. Okay, even though generally you would need two edim for that. But in this case, since we believe it for that, we're going to believe it for this. However, banavu bunotav, di'ibau lamecha lenechasav be'edecha lo matzi nachte. When it comes to Yerusha purposes, while we might treat this husband as dead vis-a-vis the wife, we're not treating the husband as dead vis-a-vis the kids. The kids don't get his inheritance in this case. Until they have two edim to prove that the father's dead, they don't get inheritance. So therefore, mizone nami lo yahavina le. And that's why they're treated different from the wife. Interesting, right? Because there's no absolute truth here. Because if there was an absolute truth, and we'd say he's totally dead, then he's dead for the wife's purposes and for the kids' purposes. But since we basically, you know, we say, well, we treat him as dead for the wife, we'll extend it to include the mizona of the wife, but we're not going to extend it to include the mizona of the kids.
Could she claim her ketubah based on one end?
Could she claim her ketubah based on one end? I assume so, yeah.
If she can remarry.
Right. I assume that she can. In other words, I would assume if she can get her mizona based on this, then she can get her ketubah also, I would assume.
Right, she's getting married.
Exactly. I would assume that she would, yeah.
I would have thought that it was more serious because she would be over on Ish if it was only one.
Well, we learned that.
I know we learned it, but still, in terms of this, there's a much more serious issue that you allow her to get remarried, but you're not giving the Orisha marriage.
But that's clear what's going on here, because yes, and then what you're asking is, why are we allowing her to get remarried when that's such a serious thing, and yet we're not allowing kids to inherit when that's a less serious thing? But that's clearly because we're worried about a gunot. And because of a gunot, he kilu. And that was the whole thing. That really, Devar Sheba Erva, you need two witnesses, and she's an Eshet Ish, and how can we allow this? But there's a few factors here, and we're going to get to this soon also. What are the factors? The factors are that, first of all, it's considered milta da'avi li galuye. It's something that eventually will be found out. In other words, if the guy's alive, he'll walk into her life one day. And she's going to have a hard time. What's the assumption? We learned this. If there's one aid, what's the assumption? The assumption is we're not just going on that one aid. We're going on the fact that the wife checked into it and made sure, because otherwise, number one, she's going to be totally embarrassed when he walks in the door. And it's going to be totally humiliating that she lied, and it's going to become clear. Okay, and that's going to be, I'll already preface, that's the difference with a divorce case. A divorce case, if the husband shows up, it's not an embarrassment for her, because she could still claim, even though he claims, I never divorced you, she could still claim you divorced, and it's his word against her word. So divorce is totally different. But when it comes to, you know, because it's not a milta da'avdali yigaluye. In other words, this is something that will be revealed ultimately, probably. He'll show up one day. And the assumption is if he's alive, he'll come back to his life at some point. I mean, yes, it's true. We do know people who walk out of their lives and never show up again. But most of these situations were not the kind of situation where he abandoned her. The situation was he went abroad, something happened, detained him, who knows what, and he just never made it back. So the assumption is we have one aid on the one hand, we have the woman working, doing her own evidence, because first of all, she wants to find her husband. Second of all, it's going to be revealed and it's going to be a huge embarrassment for her. And the third thing is that what's going to happen if she gets found out, and if he does show up, she gets majorly penalized. Right. She can't marry her first husband, she can't be married to the second husband. She's got all this long list of knesot that kansuota. So she's going to make absolutely sure before, and that's why, that combined with the fact that we don't want to have women on gunot allows us to do it in this case. When it comes to monetary ranges, we don't really care about them getting their money. That's a mamonot issue, totally separate. Mamonot, you need two witnesses.
I still can't believe that he's not legally required to support his wife with children. That's what I'm still hung up on.
We had that whole thing about who he's obligated to support or not, and we did see there that it was possible that the assumption was he was going to anyway, and therefore they didn't need to require him to do it. There were different opinions
there
about it, but
look, that he had to up until age six,
right? And then he has to until age six, and after that, you know. But again, after age six, I mean, that's still pretty young. Yeah. So okay, so now what's the last thing we have to figure out in that braita? My davar acher. Okay, what's this davar acher that we can't take from his money for? Rav Chista Amar Tachshit. Rav Yosef Amar Tzedakah. You remember this? Mm-hmm. Can she say I need, and we said it was really for perfume, you know, because they all smelled in those days. They didn't take showers often. So, is it allowed for perfume? And this answer is, you know, not for davar acher, not for perfume. Rav Yosef says, not for tzedakah. for her to give tzedakah to other people. In other words, she can't go in there to give tzedakah. Okay? Right, this is also, the Mefarshim talk about that basically, we talked about this then, that the courts used to, they were able to go into people's property and demand that they give tzedakah. But they wouldn't do that in this kind of a situation when the husband wasn't there. Why? Because, we don't know, maybe he's giving tzedakah where he is. In other words, maybe he has funds there and he's paying tzedakah. It's not like, you know, he might be giving tzedakah, we have no way of knowing. So now they say, manda amar tachshit, if we don't allow for tachshit, so kol shekein tzedakah. But manda amar tzedakah, but if you say tzedakah, aval tachshit yahavina le, de lo nicha le de tinavel. In other words, there, if you say we don't allow for tzedakah, you would still be able to say, we would think that the person who says that would allow it for tachshit, because he doesn't want his wife to end up looking disgusting while he's gone, and you know he's going to come back to this horrible looking woman who's smelly, etc. Okay. Tashma. Next source. The other option, by the way, to say that we don't allow her for tachshit is because he doesn't want her dressing up because, you know, he's not around and he wants her looking ugly, kol od he's not around, so she doesn't look attractive to other men. Okay, new source. Hayivama shlosha chodashim rishonim nizonet mishel ba'ala. Okay, the first 3 months, she gets supported from her first husband. Mikam va'elach, right, this is a, so I would think it would be a shomer yavam we're talking about, right? This is, assume it's a Shomeret Yavam. Yeah, I assume this is before she does Yibum. Oh yeah, clearly it's before. Okay, because we'll see the end of it. So, once she's, it was strange because usually they call her a Shomeret Yavam. So it really should be here, a Shomeret Yavam. She's waiting for Yibum. So the first 3 months, Nizonet Mishel Ba'ala, she gets from her first husband's money for a bizonot. Mikam va'elach, ein anizonet lo mishal ba'ala v'lo mishal yabam. At that point on, she doesn't belong to anybody, really. She doesn't get from the first husband, and she doesn't get from the yabam until he does yibum. Amad bedin ubarach, what if he basically, you know, what does it mean, amad bedin? They said, do yibum, right? Or do chalitza, or, you know, do something about this woman. And then he runs away. So then, nizonet mishal yabam. So what do you see here? That she gets mizono from the Yabam, right? However, we're going to see this is a little different. Why does she get mizono from the Yabam? Because it's a punishment to him. It's a knas, right? There's a difference between knas and something that's, you know, coming her way. Knas is a fine, right? This is a fine to basically prevent him from running away so that she ends up, you know, we don't want her to be stuck again in a guna case. So what do we say here? Amar lecha Shmuel. So first Shmuel says, forgetting about what I said, but what's the issue here? You can't really compare this to the case of the Baala Shalach LeMedinat Hayam. Why? What were the two concerns? Maybe he put aside money for her, okay? So Imishum Tshrare Lomikar V'date L'Gaba. This Yabam certainly didn't leave aside money for her, for Mizono, because he has no relationship with her yet, right? He obviously doesn't want to be with her. He ran away. V'Imishum Maaseh Yadeha Lo mishdam daleh. If you say, well, he could say, use your salary to pay for your mizono, well, that's only when he's obligated in mizono. Then, right, then she can say, I'm going to keep my salary and you won't give me mizono. But he's not obligated to her yet, right? He hasn't married her yet. So, therefore, what do we say? You can't learn from this case anything. Okay, Tashma, next source. Haisha shacha hiu ba'ala l'medina hayam. Ubat va'amra met ba'ali. Okay, remember we saw this case in Yavama. So, she goes to Medina Hayam with her husband. She returns. Okay, this is the Ruth story, right? The Ruth and Naomi. Right? Naomi comes back. Ruth comes back, right? And what happens? They say, my husband died. So, ratzta nizonet. Ratzta gova ktubata. She can either get mizonot or she can get her ktuba. Why? Either he's alive, and therefore she can get her mizonot or, you know, or the ketubah money. Right, well, if he's alive, right, I guess the assumption is if she's telling the truth, right, that he really died, then obviously she can get her ketubah and or mizonot. And if she's not telling the truth, she can get mizonot, and if she gets her ketubah, right, in other words, the ketubah money, I guess she can get because in any case, the ketubah money ultimately is coming to her, right? So it's Oh, no, sorry. My mistake. I'm confusing. She's the emenet to say this, legamre. She's allowed to say, we believe her entirely. And as if she went abroad with her husband and comes back and it's her word that says, Meit Baali, we believe her. And that's because of all the things I said before. We believe her because it's milta dit avdili galuye, right? It'll ultimately become clear. And therefore, right, we can trust her. And also because if she's lying, what's going to happen? We're going to end up with a big knas on our hands, right? It's going to be a big problem. So basically, what do we say? She's believed. So if she's believed, she can either get mezonot or ketubah because she's believed her husband's dead. And when the husband dies, she can either get mezonot or she can demand her ketubah. But if she says, gerashni ba'ali, my husband divorced me, then mitparneset v'holechet ad kedei ketubata. This is what I was getting confused with. It was this line. What happens if she says he divorced me? She's not believed that he divorced her. Because what did we say? It's not milta di that will become clear. Because again, if he shows up, it won't become clear that she was lying or not. We don't know. So therefore, she's not believed. And if she's not believed, what's the situation? And here we're going to see our problem. If she's married still, well, then she can at least get mizono, right? And if she's divorced, then she can't get mizono, but she can get a ketubah. So either way, she can either get mizonot or her ketubah. So what do we allow her to do? Mizonot until the amount of her ketubah. Because basically, it'll work in place of the ketubah if she was really telling the truth. So, again, what do you see? That if she was still married, she would get mizonot. So what do they answer? Again, hachanami kisheshamu bo shemeit. It's when they heard that he died, and therefore, she can already get, you know, she can clearly get mizonot, because if... Right? And it's, what are the two options now? The option is either he really did divorce her and she's divorced and can get her ketubah money, or he didn't divorce her but he's dead. And if he's dead, she can get mizonot. Okay? That's how Shmuel explains it. But if he really was still alive, or if she thought he was still alive, she wouldn't be allowed to get mizonot. Umayshna ag kedei ketubata. So then why is it, if the shamubo shemeit, so why does she only get up until her ketubah money? Di'ihi hi da'afsida anafshe. Anasha. She caused her own loss. In other words, if he was really dead, what would she be able to get? Mizono plus ketubah. But because of her word that gerashni, she loses mizono, she only has a ketubah, and therefore she can only demand money up to her ketubah amount because she messed herself up, basically. It's her word that caused her to lose.
She doesn't get both.
Right. Even if he turns out to be dead, she doesn't get both. She only gets because it was her word that said gerashni. So she messes herself up. What?
What would be her motivating factor?
Maybe she wants to get remarried. So she says, my husband divorced me. I'm not a married woman.
No, but she doesn't know. Her husband's dead.
Oh, well, first of all, we don't... No. It could be... No, but let... No. No. I think the way I understood it, she claims he divorced me. And then she goes to court, and in the interim, they hear that he died.
So they assume he's
lying about the divorce. No, okay. The other reason she could have lied, I'm thinking just, let's say it wasn't the case the way I just said it, and really it was already he was dead, maybe she wanted to do yibum. We saw cases where people gave their wives gets right before so that they wouldn't have to do yibum. Maybe she didn't want to do yibum. Let's say she didn't have any kids, so she claims he divorced me, in which case I don't have to do yibum. That could be another potential reason.
Okay.
Okay, next source. Tashma. Ketzan amru mima'enet ein la mizonot. Okay, now, ketzan amru, so a mima'enet doesn't get mizonot. So, iata yocholomar b'yoshevet tacha ba'ala. And when did they say that a mima'enet doesn't get mizonot? In other words, what was the assumption? There was this line that was known, that a mima'enet doesn't get mizonot. So now they want to know in what case. This is a braita. So, the braita says, right? It can't be when she's living with her husband, amima'enet, right? Amima'enet meaning she was married when her uncle, right? How many times have we said this, right? The uncle or the mother or the brother married her off, and she's only married to Rabbanan, and she can potentially do miyum, but right now she hasn't yet. Obviously, at that point, the husband has to support her. Ela kigon shahalach ba'ala l'medinat hayam. Okay, her husband goes to Medina Hayam. What happens? This is the case we talked about before. Lavta, she borrowed money for Mizono, because he didn't leave her money. Ve'achla, amda umiana. Then, after she gets this money for Mizono, Then she does miyun. So now, what do they say? She doesn't get mizonah, meaning he doesn't have to pay back. She has to pay back the loan, not him. Ta'ama d'miyana. What do we learn from here, though? It's only because she did miyun. But ha lo miyana, yahavina la. But if she didn't do miyun and she stayed married and she borrowed money, she would have to, the husband would have to pay it back. So what do you see? He's chayav la mizonah. So, amar lecha Shmuel, Shmuel would answer, ha chalamai nichush. Again, in this case, what are you worrying about? Imishum tsrare liktana lo matpis. We talked about that before, right? A person is not matpis tsrare liktana, I guess because like what Ruth pointed out, that we don't trust her, and therefore you wouldn't have put money aside for her. V'imishum ma'aseh yadeha ktana lo sapka. Okay, this goes against the Gemara where they said before, it could be a case of a ktana or sapka, where she makes enough money. But I think what they mean here is generally a case, right? That was saying, if there were this particular case, there would be a difference in the halacha between them. But now they're saying, generally a ktana doesn't usually have enough money to support herself. Okay, that ends all our questions on Shmuel, okay? So for every question on Shmuel, and you can look at the chart to kind of, you know, review it, you can see that we answered each one in a particular case. A lot of them were Shashamu Bo Shamei, but not all of them. We answered them all up, that Shmuel could explain each source in his way. Now they want to know, my Havehala. Okay, so what's the halacha? So, not going to be such a simple answer. Ki ata Rav Dimi Amar. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Israel, he told us, Ma'aseh ba lefnei Rebbe. Now I set up, we have a C here, I'm just telling you, look at the chart at the bottom. There's two answers. Rav Dimi brings one from Eretz Yisrael, and Ravin brings a different one. And what they're going to say is the flip. Okay? So they're going to say that whoever said this, it was just the opposite. Okay? So we're going to see in a minute. Ma'aseh ba lefnei Rebbe bebeit Sha'arim. Okay? A case came before Rebbe and Beit Sha'arim. Remember, we saw this about Rebbe and Beit Sha'arim. U'pasak la'mizonot lefnei Rabbi Shmuel. U'pasak la'mizonot. And he said, a case happened, and he said, she gets mizonot, right? The husband went abroad, the woman says, I want mizonot, they gave her mizonot like Rav. Lefnei Rabbi Yishmael b'tzipori v'lo pasak la'mizonot. Okay, remember, by the way, it's not like he called like Rav, this is the generation before them, right? These are the Tanaim. Rabbi Yishmael, it happened in Tzipori, and he didn't give her mizonot, okay? Like Shmuel. Tahei bar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan asked a question. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan is already Rav and Shmuel's generation. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan is asking about these two rabbis. He's asking about Rabbi Yishmael. V'chima ra'a Rabbi Yishmael shelo pasak la'mizonot. Halo nechleku b'nei kohanim gdolim b'chanan ela l'inyan shvua. Aval mizone yahavinan la. He says exactly like we tried to ask a question on Shmuel before. He says the exact same thing. We see the chanan l'b'nei kohanim were arguing, do they have to take a shvua or not? But obviously everyone agrees that she gets mizonot. So Amar le'Rav Shemen bar Abba, for a tirgumar rabbeinu, Shmuel bebavel kishashamu bo shemet. Okay, so Rav Shem and Bar Abba comes and says, no, don't worry, the Mishnah's not a contradiction. We already explained that it's kishashamu bo shemet. Amar le, and Rav Yochanan says back to him, patritu ba kule hai, is a great line. Do you really think that's what the Mishnah means? Okay, right? This is like, we always have these crazy akimtot, and you're just waiting for someone to say, what do you mean the Mishnah's talking about that case? Okay, so that's what basically Rabbi Yochanan says. You really think that that's what this Mishnah's talking about? Okay, you're going to go? Okay. Next case. Ki ata Ravim. Now, Ravim comes and says, right, so obviously, by the way, Rabbi Yochanan, you see sides like Rav. Amar le, ki ata Ravim amar. Ma'aseh ba lefnei Rebbe bebeit Sha'arim velo pasak la'mizonot. Okay, this is the opposite now. Rebbe didn't give her the mizonot. In the other story, I lined them up exactly line by line so you could see the difference. Right? Rebbe in the first story did give her mizonot. Lefnei Rabbi Yishmael b'tzipori upasak la mizonot. Rabbi Yishmael definitely gave her mizonot. So now Rabbi Yochanan's question, and Rabbi Yochanan's going to say the same. It's just instead of asking his question on Rabbi Yishmael, he's asking his question on Rebbe. Ma ra Rebbe shelo pasak la. Dehalo nechleku chananu b'nei kohanim gdolim ele l'inyan shvua. Aval mizonot yahavin ale. La. Amar le Rav Shem and Bar Abba for Tirgum Shmuel b'Bavel kishashamu bo shemet. Amar le patritu bakule hai. Okay, so basically, either which way you read it, it was either Rebbe or it was Rabbi Yishmael who held like Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan had a problem with it. So in the end, the bottom line is we hold like Rav, and the Gemara concludes hilchata kavatei de Rav uposkim mizono le'esherish. Okay, now since we're saying this hilchata, the Gemara is going to give us two other unrelated halachot. One is somewhat related and one is totally unrelated. I don't know why this is here. V'hilchata kavatei de Rav Huna amar Rav. Okay, the halachot like Rav Huna who passed down the name of Rav. De amar Rav Huna amar Rav. Yecholah isha shetomar lebala eini mizonet ve'eini osa. Okay? A woman can say to her husband, I don't want to get mizonot, and I'm not gonna work. 1 second. Eini mizonet ve'eini osa is eini osa just means, right, I was confused for a minute. Eini osa means I'm not going to give you my salary. In other words, she's allowed to say to her husband, like we saw before, right? You don't need to support me, but I'm not giving you my salary. I'm gonna be independent, okay? Self-sufficient. V'hilchata kavate d'Rav Zvi b'kunya. What's kunya? Kunya are kli cheres that are glazed. Okay, generally we say that you can't kosher kli cheres. Okay, but here we're going to see that if they're covered, they're glazed over. Okay, we're going to see da harav zvid hane mane or kelim dekunya, these glazed kelim chiyure v'uchme, if they're whitened or blackened sharu yiruke, if they're green asire. These were different types of glazed used, and certain ones don't absorb anything. The white and the black glaze are a kind of substance that doesn't absorb anything, and therefore they were able to be koshered. Okay? It's unclear 100% whether it's koshered or whether they can just be reused. Like, it's not even an issue because nothing gets absorbed at all. That they could just be washed, or that do they really need koshering? V'lo amaran, ela delebu kartufne. But that's only if there's no cracks in them or crevices or areas where things can get in, right? You see this with serrated knives and things like that, right? When there's little cracks and crevices, they're much more difficult to kosher. Aval ipuhu kartufne asire. Okay, so if they're glazed and they're totally smooth and there's no cracks and crevices, then they're fine, and if not, not. Again, what this is doing here, I don't have a good answer. Okay, get to tomorrow to the second case of Hanan that he argued with the rabbis about. It's a good chazara of all this Yevamot stuff. As we get to the end of Ketubot, it's reminiscent of the end of Yevamot.